our late diversion, because we have a fascinating late diversion tonight on the very Irish practice of keeping politics in the family. We are talking about some of Ireland's biggest political dynasties, from the Lennons to the Healy Rays. And I'm joined now by the man who wrote a book about them, Johnny Fallon, Strategy Director with Cara Communications. You're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Katie.
What qualifies as a political dynasty?
Well, I suppose it differs in some people's minds because the one that jumps to, I think, everyone's mind is, you know, a couple of generations, maybe two, three generations of family, usually parent to child. And I suppose that is the most common type. But there are many other types as well, because really a dynasty is about a group of people exerting power, different members of the same family exerting power for a long period of time over a party, a place or a group of people. You would have to say as well that John and Richard Bruton, you know, are brothers, two brothers in that, but for the last 40 years they have been at the very heart of everything Fine Gael has done and every policy that's really come from the party. So you would have to include them too as a dynasty. It's a dynastic power.
And do we have an unusually high number of political dynasties in Ireland?
We do, but it's not an unusual fact in the sense that lots of other countries have them. There are just more opportunities because we have a multi-party system and there are several seats in the same constituency, so parties can get several family members elected. Whereas in some other countries, it's harder, much harder to get, where you have single-seat constituencies or first-past-the-post. The Shannon has also been another great way for families to bring another member in, or if a seat is lost, to retain seats and keep family names in the public consciousness.
Are politicians born, not made? They grow up in a political environment that can be very, very different to normal family life.
It's a completely different scenario, and I suppose for political parties too, there's always this thing of, you know, what is a politician? It is that there's the element of showbiz, so name recognition carries a lot. The advantage the parties have with the dynastic politician is it's a name people know, but that person knows exactly what they're getting into, unlike maybe a celebrity candidate. They know there's a lot of mundane work. I become public property. They're used to seeing family, you know, interrupted by the fact that people are calling to the house. There's maybe constituency meetings, and that they're not maybe always there for the family. That doesn't come as a shock to them.
And I've had that conversation with a lot of politicians who were, as you say, second generation in Leinster House. And it always astonishes me that they went into it, you know, with their eyes wide open and knowing the havoc that it caused their life, you know, growing up.
It is, and it's definitely one of those things that becomes like a family business. I mean, it's like the way some people might say, you know, doctors don't have an easy job, yet generations of family go on to be doctors or pharmacists or whatever it is that is the family profession. Politics becomes like that. It becomes a way of life, I think, for many families, and they want to continue on the name and tradition. Although I will say that in the generational thing, it's unusual for somebody to surpass the achievements of, say, their parent in politics. It has happened, but it's unusual. Usually the trend setter tends to be that after that, dynasties tend to wane a little bit in terms of influence. It's difficult to emulate it generation after generation. Of course, some would say that the likes of the Lenehans booked that trend, where maybe later generations did get higher ministerial portfolios, but it is unusual.
Yeah, let's talk about the Lenehans, because I would say that for many people, when they think Irish political dynasties, they think the Lenehans, because it was multi-layered and multi-generational. I think we've pulled together a few clips: Brian Senior, Mary O'Rourke, Connor and Brian Junior.
It's easy for you to be cynical and sceptical about the motivation of people who went to public life. I have never ever tried to advance my own self-interest in my public life today. I never will.
I never minded that he didn't promote Brian. Why should he? He doesn't have to promote anyone.
He's borrowing to ensure that social welfare recipients are paid, that pensioners are paid, that salaries are paid in the public service.
Well, I want to say that I'm absolutely certain, on mature recollection at this stage, that I did not ring President Hillary. And I want to put my reputation on the line in that respect.
What was unusual about the Lenehans?
They built a foundation that was on this big, strong personalities, always filling the room. Incredibly loyal. Brian Lenehan Senior built something on that, you know, he didn't go against his leader, didn't go against it. Loyal to a fault, many people would have said, over his career. And you saw that kind of come through again in other members of the family, even Brian Junior, who, you know, there was all that talk that Bertie Ahern maybe didn't favour him, but he stuck with it, went with it. And they always had this sense that they were a family that could get on with the man in the street as well as having that kind of power.
The story about Brian Jr. was that he would hear from people that always made time to talk to them.
I remember talking to a Labour TD who was elected after 2007, who said to me that, you know, he brought his parents to the Dáil and was bringing them around Leinster House and showing them. And everybody was in such a rush. People were running one place and another. But he happened to bump into Brian Lenehan. He introduced himself. He met his parents and was whisked off because people were talking about ministries and pressures. But later on that day, Brian Lenehan sought him out, sat down, said to his parents, "It must be a very proud day for you, your son, you know, getting into the Dáil." And he said just took the time, even though he was from a different party. And that was kind of the trademark that was very much part and parcel of the family.
You had a chat with Brian Senior yourself.
I did. Again, coming from a family who was very much into politics, I was dragged along to Ardeshena from I was a small child. And, you know, you went in the old days you had to hold the seats, and that would have been my job. And I remember being about eight, nine years of age, sitting at an Ardesh, minding the seats in the RDS while there's nothing happening on stage because people are just milling about and going to workshops and everything else. And then I was aware of somebody coming behind me, grabbing me by the shoulders and saying, "Aren't you a great young man?" And when I turned around, it was Brian Lenehan Senior. And he came around, sat beside me on the seat, and immediately sat down and said, "What do you think of what's going on in the government now?" And of course, I started pontificating as an eight-year-old kid, thinking this is great to do it. But, you know, he sat there and listened as if he was talking to another adult. And it was an amazing experience. But that was, as I say, that trademark.
There's more dynasties growing as we sit here. And I suppose the most successful current political dynasty is the one down my neck of the woods in Kerry, the Healy Rays.
An unusual maybe dynasty in that Jackie Healy Ray, when he was there, was again Fianna Fáil Gene Poole down there, party worker down there, looking for a seat, looking for a nomination. And maybe a lot of people in Fianna Fáil at around that time of the late 90s, the party was moving on from that kind of TD and was, you know, a new Fianna Fáil was being born. And they didn't kind of see maybe Jackie Healy Ray as a proper candidate, meaning he ran as an independent and upset all the odds.
Jackie Healy Ray told me himself of how Bertie Ahern let him down.
Yeah.
With a bang, as he might put it himself. I think we've a clip of Jackie, of course, the patriarch of the Healy Rays, on a favourite topic of his own and indeed of other Healy Rays, of how drink driving laws are destroying the fabric of rural Ireland. And we also have a clip of Michael Healy Ray having a go at the begrudgers.
"This village, there were 6 or 7 bars in it, weren't they? There's one there about closed.
Jack Rogers.
Jack Rogers is closed and the village inn is closed. Poor Petey came home. There'll be no hope. I always mentioned 2 to 3 points. There are 100% safe after that didn't beat the right down.
And these people who will be up now tonight at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock explaining to the nation how horrible the Healy Rays are, I have a message for you. Get up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Go away and do something productive. And don't mind wasting your time staring into miserableness, writing horrible things about people who don't even know."
All Jackie wanted actually was a Fianna Fáil nomination. Mm-hmm. So it was when he realised that wasn't going to come his way. And he had spent his young years in politics helping other people get elected. He was the master of the razzmatazz, the rallies ahead of elections. And now he found himself left behind.
Yeah, it was, as you say, a generational thing where maybe, you know, he had been the mastermind behind an awful lot of the party work, as so many are in political parties across the country. These people on the ground who really are the power brokers, they're so resilient, they're so strong because they know they're speaking to a group who really feel that, you know, life is passing us by and we don't want it. And there's always a sense of go up and show them crowd in Dublin exactly what we're about down here and we don't have to take it from them. And building that brand, I mean, Michael Healy Ray is so like Jackie in the way he goes on and the way he has presented himself. It is a brand now. And people buy into that brand and they feel security in it. And moving away from it becomes very, very difficult for them as a choice for a voter when it's something you feel has worked for you and has delivered for you.
Tell me about the donkey.
I think this was covered in one of your own books, Katie, on this. But it was Jackie Healy Ray, you know, going out. And this is, shows you just how intent they were on getting votes and what it takes to be that kind of politician. And he asked a woman for the vote and she said, "No, I won't give you the vote because I met you in the pub and I told you I had a donkey that needed to be castrated. You said you'd find someone to do it. You never did. I never heard from you. It's 2 days to go to voting. You're not getting the vote." And he said, "I'll find someone." She said, "No, you won't. You won't find them in 2 days. You're not getting the vote. That's that." And apparently you know, the day before voting, Jackie turns up at the house and performs the castration himself in order to get that vote. And it's that sense of going that extra mile at a local level when you have to.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, we touched on the Bruton brothers because, you know, in Fine Gael terms, they would be really an iconic name. The Andrews family, another big name.
In a slightly different sense, they had that real patriotic kind of attitude, I suppose, towards the family in Todd Andrews, who was a civil servant, if you like, and in the semi-state sector, but a big name within Fianna Fáil. And then you had David Andrews, when he became a minister, foreign minister, well-respected, stood up to Charles Haughey, not an easy thing to do, was left out in the wilderness for years. If you were to look for the royalty within Fianna Fáil, you'd be looking at the Andrews and saying, there's the people that go all the way back, you know, to the fight for freedom and everything else. And they create that dynasty, brothers again in that sense, but then they have a new generation, Barry coming into it as a junior minister. You know, again, Fianna Fáil is very linked to a lot of those dynasties. But of course, you also have now Chris Andrews, who left Fianna Fáil and is now in Sinn Féin as a TD.
And of course, Charlie Haughey set about building a dynasty through marriage.
For somebody like Charles Haughey, who came into it at a time when, you know, there was a lot of new men. The men in the mohair suits was the term. But in Fianna Fáil in particular, you still needed to be able to touch those august heroes of the past. Charles Haughey came into it very much as a new man, very much liked by grassroots, did all the chicken and chip circuit. He needed that touch of gold dust, though. And of course, to marry into the Lammas name, that was absolutely what he had. And his own son, Sean, is now a TD. And, you know, famously, there is a great story of Charles Haughey one time, you know, throwing a party when he was with Sean Lammas. And Sean Lammas said to him, that was a very big party. It must have been very expensive. And I said, it was, but it was worth it, you know, for you and for everyone to enjoy. And he said, must have cost you 200 quid. And he said, the guts of it. And Lammas went off kind of quite upset by this, saying that's an awful lot. And Charlie said, I didn't like to tell him it was closer to 2000. And that was perhaps a changing of the guard.
Politics is changing. Looking 10, 20 years, would we still have this style of politics where the family name, that brand, will carry so much sway?
I think so. I think you'll always have it because it's, again, a bit like celebrity. It's you will always have celebrities, you'll always have big names that come into it. What we have in vote when we go to vote is a little bit like a security blanket. We expect certain values from people, and we like to think that if you carry the same name as your parents or another family member, you must have some similar values, and therefore you'll deliver for me the same way as your predecessor, who I trusted or loved or liked, delivered for me. And we trusted them before, we'll trust them again. And it's easier. We work in Ireland very much on a system of favours, and it's much easier to hand a favour down across your family lines than it is across party lines.
And that was Johnny Fallon. They're taking us through all those political dynasties. Michael Fitzmaurice, are you grooming somebody?
No.
No,
I actually don't agree with Johnny Fallon that, yes, down through the years, first of all, the one the mobile phone years ago and 30, 40 years ago. And I would see, my opinion is that I cannot see generations coming by for the simple reason. Politics is a pretty demanding life. When you put yourself in, you put yourself full hog at it. When your family, you know, like I've youngsters at home, turned to notion of them ever going near politics for the simple reason you have missed the matches, you have missed the different things that you were supposed to be at. They would, in my opinion, have a bit of sort of resentment towards politics for the simple reason you're gone the whole time.
But sure, that was the same with Brian and Conor Lenehan Jr.
Correct, but it's there is nowadays youngsters. They're not going to put themselves in for the likes of that, or they see the likes of Facebook and the trolling that goes on late at night and what's said about their father or their mother or their aunt or their uncle. It's going to be a dirtier type of game with some of the stuff you see coming. And I think youngsters, they don't want that anymore.
Danny?
Yeah, I certainly agree with Michael Fitzmaurice. I was just thinking there of Jackie Healy Ray. One of the great stories I heard about him was that in his last term in the Dáil, the then Chief Whip Pat Kerry told me that they actually closed business early up on a Thursday to allow Jackie go home on the train to Killarney. And it was just the power that he had at that independent, as an independent over that Cowan government, was just phenomenal, you know. And he had Seamus Brennan and other chief whips doing his bidding. But I wouldn't necessarily agree with Johnny Fallon either. Like, I mean, in terms of like the kind of the newer generations not doing better than the fathers. I mean, the classic example of that now is Helen McEntee, who made it to the senior cabinet ranks, where her late father, indeed, Shane, only made the junior ranks. So, but in terms of like the nastiness of politics, without question, like it's a much nastier. Like, I think any of the politicians on the panel this evening can detail the trolling abuse that they would have gotten from the lovely people on Twitter and Facebook and everything like that. But I think, you know, whereas 40 years ago, I think there was a reverence around politicians and, you know, the sort of esteem that they would have been held in. I certainly don't get the sense that politicians are held in the same level of esteem that they were. And the attraction of the job, I just don't think it's there.
Okay, sorry to cut across you, Danny, but I'm actually over time now, but I'll take that last break.